Good evening, everyone. Welcome to another episode of Evolution.org Raw Up Your Ass podcast. Today, we are live from the Evolution.org headquarters. We have the Mason in the house. Are you alive, Mason?
Alive and well, buddy. I got an awesome email that we're going to go through today. I had to do a bit of research, but man, the topics are going to be strong.
It's going to be as strong as my fucking biceps. That's how strong they're going to be. We actually have a very awesome guest coming up on our regular podcast. Lauren Lockman, who's a prolonged water fasting expert, is going to be on. I was able to get a hold of him. And he is going to be coming on and educating us, and he's going to be talking about that, but he's also going to be talking about nutrition. So that is one not to miss. So if any of you guys have questions, send them in, because that's going to be a fun one. So let's begin. We have a lot of topics. The first one that we'd like to get into is the relationship segment. So we have one in. It's a long one. I'm not going to sit here and read it. It'll take me like 2 minutes to read the whole thing, but I'll just kind of summarize. Basically, this guy says that he went to a party. This was about a year ago. He got wasted. He got hammered pretty good. He got arrested that night because he had some drugs and he was driving drunk. He ended up calling his wife to bail him out. And she got pissed and she said that, "I'm not bailing you out. Why should I bail you out? I told you not to go out. I told you not to drink, blah, blah, blah." She ends up bailing him out after he spent the night in jail. And they had to pay close to $10,000 in attorney fees. And he lost his license for about 6 months. So it was a big hassle on their family. They have a baby. So he said ever since the incident, she has tortured him on a daily basis. Basically, she finds a reason to yell at him every single day. And he wants to know, he admits that he fucked up, but he wants to know what he can do. And he says that since then, he's not gone out. He hasn't gone to parties. He hasn't done anything. He's been a perfect husband. He's done his best to make her happy. But he says that basically she's treating him like shit and basically guilt tripping him all the time. So Matt, I have some thoughts on this because I've witnessed this. I'm not married, but I've witnessed this from other couples and I see this type of thing a lot. So I was wondering what you thought first.
Yeah, I mean, he did fuck up real bad. That's the thing. He says he gets it, but I don't know. Like, is he taking ownership of it? That would be my first thing. It's bad, man. People die that way. You got a kid. Like, you could have killed somebody, been in jail, and then you're not raising your kid for a little while. Like, you think about how bad it could have gone and how lucky the guy is that, you know, the biggest issue is he had, you know, basically had to pay a little bit of money. So he's really lucky in that sense. Man, I find the thing with women is it takes a long time for them to get over things if they're going to get over it at all. And I feel like if they were able to have a real conversation that didn't involve yelling or her being a bitch or whatever, she'd probably say that to him. She'd probably tell him, yeah, it's going to take a long time for, you know, of you being a certain way before I can, you know, before I can move on past it. There's probably a trust issue there. You know, it doesn't mean it's okay for her to treat him like that. She's got to give him a chance to get better. And I mean, if he's been really good for a year, you know, that's a good start. I don't think it's healthy to not go out at all. I think he's probably, you know, a little bit to the extreme. So I think he's got to try to be more normal about it, but she's got to try to not bring it up every day either. It's kind of somewhere in the middle. You know, they're both at fault. But I think in the end with this couple, it's going to either take a long time or eventually he's just going to quit on her because it's nagging over and over and over again. But it's tricky with kids too, I know. I see that a lot in friends that I have and stuff. It's hard to split up when you have kids. So I don't know. I think a lot of it's going to come down to having a real talk, not just a bitch at each other and storm out, like an actual real talk where you're going to bring your feelings out and talk about how to move forward instead of just bitching about the past.
Yeah, I wonder if they should do counseling because in this situation, you know, how does he kind of make the point that, look, I fucked up. I'm sorry. $10,000 is a lot of money, you know, to just blow on a stupid mistake like that. And losing your license for 6 months, that must have put a hell of a strain on the relationship because you have a baby and one person can't drive. So now you got one person driving for both people, and it put a lot of strain on her. So yeah, she's pretty much punishing you. And I think that you need to sit down and have a talk with her. If this was a situation where you didn't have a kid, I would just tell you to just leave. Because leave and start over. Start your life over and move on. Pay her back the $10,000 and just move on. But since you have a kid with her, it's a very difficult situation here. What you did is, in my view, as bad as cheating. You know, and that's something she's never going to forgive you for, man. And like Matt said, it's going to take a long time for her to get over it. Because she might be thinking, you went out to a party, got that wasted. You're so wasted that you drove home drunk. And you were doing drugs. Well, did you cheat on her? Did you flirt with a girl at this party? Did you kiss a girl at this party? Did you have sex with a girl that night? I mean, who knows what you did? If you were in such bad mental state that you were dumb enough to drive drunk and have drugs with you in the car, then what else did you do? So, I mean, in what credibility do you have when you say to her, no, I didn't cheat on you. I didn't do anything. Well, what credibility do you have because you were wasted? Right? How do you know what you did? You might not even know what you did. So I mean, this is a bad situation, and this is a life lesson for everybody. And that, you know, one stupid night can literally ruin your life. And you know, it sounds like she is just gonna torture you and torture you for a long time, man. So It is what it is. Anything else to add, Matt?
You know what? I think you brought it up kind of quickly, but I think counseling is probably an awesome idea for them. I mean, I know Mark Lobliner's been on the podcast before, and he's a big advocate of it. Even if you're not having problems, he recommends it to couples as a more of a maintenance type thing. It forces you to have different conversations you wouldn't have. You get out of your comfort zone. It can do, you know, a ton of good things. I mean, it sounds like, you know, without knowing the people, it's hard, right? But it sounds like he wants it to work, you know? He wants it to work, but he can only put in so much effort with the way he's being treated. I think the unknown in this is, does she want it to work? How much does she want it to work? And I think that's where something like counseling could have a big difference, because it'll force her to get out of that negative mindset. You know, and get into the other mindset of, you know, yes, I want to stay, and, you know, this is what I have to do for myself. She's got to take accountability for, you know, treating him the way she's treating. You know, people do make mistakes, and, you know, without knowing the guy, you know, I have to give him the benefit of the doubt that it was a one-off, really, really terrible, poor decision, and that it's not in character. It's not something he normally does, and not something he'd ever do again. I would say, you know, if she wants to stay, go to the counseling, give him a chance to figure it out. You make some changes as the girl too, and you know, that's your only chance. And if both people aren't in it to work through it and make it better, then it's going to fail anyways. So, you know, in that situation, it's better to cut bait, you know, before the kid gets older and, you know, it just becomes harder and harder and harder. So, yeah, counseling, I think, would be the best thing they could do.
Yeah, I mean, people make mistakes, but this is such a stupid mistake, especially if you have a baby. That's just selfish on your part. Like Matt said, you could have killed someone. You'd be going to jail for a long time. Or you could have killed yourself, and that kid would have been had no father growing up. So, I mean, what you did was extremely selfish. So she's punishing you, man. She's punishing you for doing such a horrible thing, a selfish, horrible thing that you did. So I know, and it sounds like it was a disaster waiting to happen, and it sounds like that got your shit together, and hopefully you grew up, and other people can learn from your mistake. But, and you know, keep in touch. Let us know how it goes. Counseling sounds like a really good idea, because I don't think sitting down with her and having a conversation about this is going to do anything but cause an argument, because she's probably going to think that you're like making her out to be the bad person here, you know? And even though what she's doing is not right, she's still gonna, you know, that's how women think. So I think counseling is probably the best thing, because this way that kind of takes the heat off of you in the conversation. So our next topic is a cycle question. And this is actually a woman that I saying here. This is our sister Sai on Elite Fitness. And she wants to run a DNP cycle. She says that she's 210 pounds at 5'7". She doesn't know her body fat, but she thinks it's about 30%. And I think it's probably more than that. If you're that height and weight as a woman, you know, 25% is like healthy. 22 to 25% is like healthy for a woman. So I think you're higher than 30%, but it's not really important. Obviously, your 210 pounds is a fucking whale. You know, that's way too much. She says she's tried to go to the gym before, and she's walking 1 hour a day now. She says she wants to use DNP, but I was wondering what your advice would be. I'm pretty sure I'm going to do it, no matter how many negative reactions I get, because honestly, I'd rather die than spend another week in this body. Losing this weight would make me feel better again, and this way I'd be more confident to do what I want to do. More sports, boxing, gym, etc. It just really seems like the only option out there for me nowadays. So she wants to know, what vitamins do I have to take with it? She's planning on using not more than 200 milligrams a day. I've read about the dangers, and I want to do this as safe as possible. So let me just say, I've run DMP myself. I've run it 3 times. It is a horrible compound. It makes you feel like shit. It's not going to make you more active. It's going to make you less active. It's also going to shut down your thyroid and your metabolism while you're on it. A lot of people think that it speeds up your metabolism. Well, it doesn't. That's just ignorance on your part if you believe that. It actually does the opposite. So what happens when you're on it, you'll start retaining a lot of water. So what happens is people start upping their dose because they get frustrated and they're not losing weight as much as they would like. And then when you come off, the water weight comes off. And then your metabolism is shot to hell. So then you usually gain back a lot of your weight, pretty much all your weight. So when I used it, when I was on it, it's like you can't work out. So if this person is not motivated to go work out, which they're not, using the DMP is going to make them even less motivated. So I highly recommend that you reconsider the DMP. But if you do decide to use it, 200 milligrams a day for 7 to 10 days is all. And you need to take electrolytes. You need potassium, magnesium, calcium, all your minerals, all your vitamins. And you need to drink a shitload of water on this stuff. And you need to exercise on it. And you need to eat good on it. Or you're not going to get results. You can't just take DMP and eat pizza and sit on the couch. You're not going to get good results on it that way. You really have to put in the work when you're on the DMP, which is hard. It's hard enough because you can't exercise. But here's the bottom line. You know, I'm gonna say I'm gonna follow up on it, but I want to hear what Matt has to say first.
I think she doesn't need to run DNP at all. I think she needs somebody to be accountable to, because she's not accountable to herself. Absolutely not. And I think she needs to get out there and do something, because this is what I think. If she's walking for an hour a day and nothing's changing, then there's a problem with the food. Okay. So it's not the exercise. Exercise is actually fun. You know, a lot of people I talk to that are trying to lose weight enjoy the exercise part. It's the dieting part that sucks. And she's just looking for something extreme. You know, I don't want to put any effort in. What's the most hardcore thing I can do? Bam, DNP, that's it. So she's looking for the easy way out. I would highly recommend a coach. And the reason why is because it forces you to be accountable to somebody. It takes the thinking out of it. They'll give you a diet. Okay? You don't need to be walking an hour a day. There's so many other things you can do that can help you, you know, as far as exercise. But you need somebody to fix the diet. And I think with that kind of mindset of, you know, I'm going to kind of do it anyway because I'd rather die, like, that's a terrible mindset to have. And I feel, you know, horrible that somebody can feel that way. And if that's how you feel, you need somebody watching over you, making sure, you know, you're doing it the right way. Because I think you can run DNP for a week or two. After that's done and out of your system and everything comes back to normal, you're going to be very disappointed. Even if you lose, you know, 10, 15 pounds on it, if you don't learn to live the right lifestyle, the weight's just going to come back on so quick, you know, especially right after you stop. People add that weight back super fast. So without, you know, everybody wants the easy way out. Like, we talk about that all the time with everything, with steroids, with caffeine, with other stimulants, with supplements that they think are going to, you know, be life-changing. Everybody wants it to be easier than just putting in hard work. But if you don't have those basics down, it's not sustainable. I have a cousin who gets super lean. She looks great. And then she blows up. Like, I'm telling you, she changes her weight by like 100 pounds every couple of years. Why is that? It's because when she wants to do it, she knows how to do it. And she diets and the weight comes off. But then when you don't follow those basics, the weight all comes back on. It doesn't matter what you run. So I'll let Steve get back into it. But I think a coach would be great for a person like that.
Yeah, I agree. You need some motivation. What motivates, a good way to motivate is coming on our forums and starting a log, because that will keep you accountable and it will keep you motivated. It's like a daily diary. And I hate doing a daily diary, but when I did my first water, when I did my prolonged water fast, I did a diary every day and I wrote out a diary and I posted pictures. And I hated doing that. I really did, you know, but it did keep me motivated and kept me from going on, because I said I'm going to do this, and this kind of kept me on the right track to do it as much as I wanted to quit. So listen, losing weight, it's not a fucking conspiracy, people. It's not like some magical conspiracy on how to lose weight. You've got to eat less, and you got to eat less often. I would much rather you do like a water fast for 10 days, then go on DNP. And you know what? You'll lose the same amount of weight doing DNP for 10 days or doing a water fast. But the difference is the water fast, you're still going to be able to exercise during it. You won't be like sweating bullets. You won't be feeling like shit on it. You see what I'm saying? And it's going to be way healthier for your body. And you won't downregulate your metabolism like you will on DNP. And you won't cause long-term problems like you would on DNP, because DNP can cause long-term problems. We know that because some people have reported that, and it's been shown in some studies to cause long-term issues. Like vision side effects, for example, some people have that from DNP. So it's, you know, I'm telling you, I ran it. I hate it. I'd much rather water fast for 10 days than run DMP, because DMP feel miserable on it. So, you know, I would do that. Come on and hire a coach. It's a good idea if that's going to motivate you, or do a daily diary, or come on the forums and do daily updates. And that, I think that will keep you in line. So that's a really good suggestion by Matt. You have anything else to add? You want to move on?
Yeah, I think also for someone in that situation, tracking what you eat can be a great idea too. It can be a really good tool. The easy one is MyFitnessPal. It's an app on, you know, Apple or Android. Like, you can find it anywhere. You can pretty much scan anything that has a barcode. Even a bag of fruit that has a barcode will scan. And it's an easy way to make sure you're in a deficit every day, because in my opinion, it's not good enough to just eat healthy foods. Because unless you're, you know, living this kind of lifestyle and you know a lot about your body and you know a lot about nutrition, it's really easy to have a salad and put way too much dressing on it, and then your calories are way too high anyways. Or it's really easy to, you know, eat a really nice lunch and then later on in the day have a snack and be like, oh, it's okay because I ate healthy for lunch. Well, what if your lunch was healthy food, but the portion was too big? You know, so it can be really tricky. And I really like things being simple. I don't want to have to think about it. I don't want to have to obsess about things all day long, because you'll just set yourself up for failure. So if you can just track what you eat, it's an easy way come dinner time to see where you're at for calories. You know, if it's dinner time and you have 600 calories left, you just make your meal according to that. You know, if you were supposed to have 6 and you ended up only having 400 left, well, you know what? Your dinner is going to be a little smaller than what you thought it was going to be. But it's what you got to do. You got to learn to manipulate calories to be in a deficit, because if you're not doing it every day, you're not going to see the results. They're either not going to come at all, or they're going to take forever. You know, we see it so many times, a lot more often with guys, because I find guys will eat really good. They'll exercise Monday to Friday. And this is especially like college age guys. Saturday, you know, Friday night, Saturday night, they're out at the bar, you know, pounding the booze down, eating pizza and chicken wings. And then, you know, Monday morning back in the gym, but, you know, no results. You see them a year later, they look the same. So I think this person could benefit from, you know, a coach, some motivation, tracking what they eat until you really get into it. Once you see those results, they can really take over and give you an insane amount of motivation. I know how good I feel when I start to see results when I'm aiming for a goal. And when that happens, you probably don't need to track anymore. You know, you have your meals down. You know what a deficit is. You don't have to worry about it. You start to understand your body. So, you know, the more you stick with it, the easier it gets, I think. So if that's it on that one, Steve, let's move on to our next segment, which is going to be our diet and nutrition segment. And we got a really good question. I actually got this question yesterday, so it was nice. I had some time to do a little bit of research. And I'll read it to you here. Hey, Steve and Matt. I keep hearing a lot about chocolate being beneficial for bodybuilders. It sounds more like dark chocolate has the benefits, but I want to get your feedback. That was it. Really simple question. That's from Larry. So what I did was I found a lot of the benefits from real dark chocolate. So what you want to know, first of all, is that regular chocolate is terrible. What you buy in a store is good chocolate loaded with sugars and fats and everything else to make it taste good, because real chocolate tastes like shit. That's just the honest truth of what it is. So chocolate basically comes from, it's called cacao beans. Yes, it's spelled differently than cocoa. It's a different word. So I know it sounds a little bit funny, but that's what it is. So the higher percentage of raw cacao is what you want. That's the good stuff. I wouldn't want anything less than, say, 70-80%, but the higher the better. So I'll just give you some of the benefits of what it would be if you ate, you know, the good quality. So you can get potential protection from disease. And the reason that's going to happen is it can fight free radicals because it's so rich in antioxidants. I'm going to pass this to Steve after I go through these, because I think we're going to find a theme here that there's a lot of benefits here, but I don't think you necessarily have to eat chocolate for these benefits. So I think that's kind of what I'm going to, you know, where this is going, just my opinion. But that's the first benefit. The next one is going to be cancer prevention. And the reason behind that one is there's a rich supply of flavonoids. Flavonoids are just basically it's an antioxidant, right? Antioxidants are broken into different categories. That's one of the categories. With cancer prevention, there's a ton of studies done. The evidence is strong, but it's not enough to give a definitive statement on it. So what I was reading is there still needs to be a lot more studies done to really make that statement that dark chocolate can actually prevent cancer. Improved heart health. The flavanols can actually cause your platelets to be less sticky. And what that means is it can really help your blood flow to your heart and your brain and reduce the risk of clots and stroke. So that's going to be extremely important. The next claim is good for cholesterol. And that's an easy one because there's heart-healthy monounsaturated fats that are naturally found in dark chocolate. Improved cognitive function. So this kind of goes back to what I mentioned previously about increased blood flow to the brain. So the reason that it can help with cognitive function is it can really help against diseases like dementia, because dementia is going to do the opposite. It's going to prevent blood flow to the brain. Same thing with stroke. So increasing blood flow to the brain, that's where the claim is making sense, that it will improve cognitive function and help against things like dementia and stroke. And the last one on here I have is it can help with blood pressure and blood sugar levels. So I just noted a quick study that I looked at. It was 25 grams per day. 25 grams is roughly an ounce of chocolate, so not a big serving. So it was that for 8 weeks. And for I can't remember the percentage because, like I said, I just looked at it quick, but it was really, really high percentage that everybody saw lower blood sugar and lower fasted blood sugar levels. That makes a difference. And lower blood pressure. So that's seven pretty big benefits there. Is it enough to say that we should all start going to the store and buying dark chocolate? I don't necessarily believe that's true. Are there some benefits? Sure. Steve, what do you think? You think we should all start eating it every day now?
If you can find real chocolate that's 100%, then yeah, it's perfectly fine, but it's very, very bitter. And if you go to a health food store, you might be able to buy like a block of unsweetened, pure chocolate. And if you've ever tasted it, it tastes really, really bitter. So, you know, what are you supposed to do with it? You know, you're not going to eat it on its own. You might like add it to some type of dessert or something. That's the only logical thing I can think that you can do with it. If you go to some like a normal supermarket or a drugstore, you might find something that's like 70 or 80% cacao. So what's the other 20 or 30% in it? It's going to be sugar and it's going to be other stuff. You see what I'm saying? So do the benefits outweigh the negatives? I don't think so. Even if you get 80% cacao, it's you taste it, it's going to taste bitter, even at 80%. And I've tried it before. It does taste bitter. I like it. But like I said, 20% of it is not something that you want and is not something healthy. So I wouldn't go down that route, unfortunately. You know, if that's something you're looking for a health benefit, that's, you know, not something you want to pursue. It's not something you should be eating. So,
yeah, I mean, like, just looking at the nutrition facts, I found an estimate. So it's based on an average between 70 and 85% pure. And a 1 ounce serving has 168 calories, and that's broken down into only 12.8 grams of carbs. To me, that's a shocker right there, the calories and the carbs. Because if you take like regular milk chocolate or white chocolate, you're going to have a lot more than 12 grams of carbohydrates. You're going to have like 30 grams of sugar alone, plus the other, you know, carbs that are in there. So I found that crazy. 2 grams of protein, 12 grams of fat. And you actually have 3 grams of fiber, which you wouldn't expect. And there's a whole bunch of minerals and stuff, which is pretty cool. I guess just when I look through the list of the benefits, just really quick, you see rich in antioxidants. Well, you know what? So are berries. Berries are one of the best things you could eat for antioxidants. How about broccoli or kale or any dark green vegetable? Same thing with preventing cancer, right? If you're eating raw vegetables, raw fruits, that's going to be make a huge difference. Cholesterol levels. If you eat a diet high in fiber, if you're eating oatmeal, if you have some psyllium husk, if you're getting your omega-3s, you know, you're eating some fatty fish, that's going to be great for cholesterol. So there's a whole ton of healthier foods and things you can use and take to give you all these benefits. So it's just, you know, just another way to look at it. But I think, you know, nothing wrong with once in a while using it to, you know, change the taste of a food, or, you know, I bet you'd even be decent in oatmeal with some fruit. And if you threw some of this dark chocolate in there as, you know, just a once in a while, I bet you'd be pretty decent and an easy way to get some vitamins and, you know, some extra antioxidants in. So I don't think it's necessarily the worst thing, but I don't think it's something to consider the next superfood and, you know, how those go that everybody runs out and gets them. So I guess somewhere in the middle for me. All right, you want to do training, Steve? You ready?
Yeah, what do you got?
All right, man. So actually, it's funny. We're going to another female question here. So this one came up today. It said, "Hey, guys, I'm a female looking to get big and muscular and more masculine. I was wondering if a compound movement routine like a 5x5 would help me out with that goal." Good question. I know Steve and I are both pretty big advocates of 5x5s for especially newer guys, newer people getting into the gym. I think it's a great way to master those exercises, hit tons of muscle groups, learn to have the right form. It's really the best way to start getting that base built up. For a woman with those goals, any routine's going to be good. I would say it's probably one of the better ones because you're going to be hitting, you know, the big muscle groups. You're going to be doing your squats and you're going to be doing your bench press and your deadlifts. So that is the way to get thicker and bigger. Obviously, diet's going to be extremely important here. But I think the main thing here is women and men, although we have the same muscles, we don't have the same hormones. So you're not going to get big the same way a guy would. You're not going to get big and bulky just by eating and training. You'll get bigger. You'll look, you know, you'll have some shape. You'll look nice. But you're not going to look like a bodybuilder like a guy would. You just don't have the hormones for that. So if you see women like that in the gym, they're likely on some type of performance-enhancing drugs just because of the chemical makeup of our bodies are different. But take that part out of it. I think it's a great routine to do. I think I would do it and see what results you get. Use it as a starting point with this new goal and then kind of go from there and see where, you know, kind of what the next step is.
Yeah, so, you know, those of you who aren't familiar with, like, you know, compound lifts, I'll give you some of the biggest compound lifts. Bench press is one. If you're a woman, though, and you're doing that, you really need a spotter. And don't be shy to ask a guy, hey, you know, can you spot me? Because guys are more than willing to do that. I mean, trust me, we enjoy when we see women at the gym, I mean, working out. We like that. We like to see someone other than just some bunch of meatheads, you know? We like to see a diverse group of people. I think that's a beautiful thing. So don't be shy and ask a guy, you know, hey, you know, can you spot me real quick? And he'll be glad to help you, and then you'll make a friend. And then he, you know, in the future, you can ask him to spot you, and you can, you know, spot him, and vice versa. So I'm not sure if you would be a good spotter necessarily, because if he's benching a lot of weight, you might not be able to help him out, you know, if he fails on his last rep. But bench press is one, squat is another. Then there's deadlift. You've got rows. You got pull ups. You've got squats, deadlifts, rows, pull ups, bench press. Militaries are another one, but they're very tough on your shoulders. And women tend to, even as much as men, really tear their shoulders too much. So you really want to be careful with those. And, you know, those are the main compound lifts. I mean, there's more. There's, you know, there's also like pull downs could be considered a compound lift. But make sure you're going in front of you instead of behind your neck. Because if you go behind your neck, you're putting an awful lot of pressure on your shoulders. So did I miss any other compound lifts, Matt, off the top of your head?
No, I think that's pretty well all of them.
All right, sounds good. And, you know, and like Matt said, look, don't try to compete with other women in the gym. Just like a man, you know, you don't compete with other people. If you see a woman who's like doing a lot of weight, you see a woman that has those very muscular, wide shoulders, you know, she's probably on the juice, you know? So don't try to like compete against someone like that, because if they're on the juice, they're probably been lifting weights a long time and they're really, really advanced. So if you're just starting out, 5x5 is really good, you know, just to start out and kind of increase your strength and really get some good results. So that's a really good idea. So this kind of transitions into our final topic. And I really wanted to talk about, I sent Matt this topic earlier. I really wanted to kind of get into 2018. It was the last podcast we talked about some tips on what you can do around New Year's to kind of improve your life in 2018. But I want to kind of get into fitness. You know, what are some nutritional and workout things that you can do? What are things you can cut out? What are things you can add on? So I want to first say that dairy and bread, okay, those are two things that if you were to cut them out of your diet or reduce them significantly, it would really improve your health. It would really improve your physique. You know, it would really help with inflammation, you know, reducing inflammation. So I really think that that's a good first step. And a lot of people say, oh, I eat gluten-free bread, or I eat Ezekiel bread, I eat high grain bread or whole wheat bread. Guys, bread, whether it's gluten-free, whether it's Ezekiel, whether it's all that stuff, it's very calorie dense and it's very inflammatory. So you don't need it. I'm telling you, you don't need it. So reduce it as much as you can. I love bread. One of my guilty pleasures is pizza. So instead of eating like 3 slices of pizza every other week or every 3 weeks, eat 1 slice and don't eat the crust, because that will reduce the amount of bread you're taking in by a lot. You know, that's a tip right there. And then another thing with dairy. Dairy is not nutritious, okay? Cheese, milk, yogurt, I don't believe in any of that shit. Now people are going to say, oh, but Steve, you know, yogurt has probiotics. Not really. It doesn't have even close to the amount of probiotics you can get from a fermented sauerkraut or a fermented kombucha. Okay? Not even close. It's just a gimmick. It's just a marketing gimmick. The negatives far outweigh the positives. And trust me, when you cut out dairy and bread, you'll notice a big difference in your bloat, and you'll notice a big difference in how you feel. So I'll let Matt chime in with some things, and then I'll come back and give some things.
Yeah, I got a ton here. I got some conventional, I got some unconventional, but I got a whole bunch. I'll start off with one that I think can go both ways. We can add and subtract. We're going to add money to our wallets by subtracting the unnecessary supplements we buy. This is a good time, new year, you're evaluating, you know, some life choices, you're evaluating a lot of things you do, making changes. You don't need a lot of the supplements that are out on the market. They're on the market because supplement companies tell you you need them. You don't need BCAAs, you don't need amino acids, you don't need pre-workout powders, you don't need post-workout powders. Very rarely do people need any of those things. Look at your diet and fill in the gaps. An example, personally for me, I supplement with a fish oil supplement because I don't get enough omega-3s in my diet. So that's important to me, so I use that. I don't use a lot of supplements. I use what I need to fill in the gaps in my diet and for other, you know, health reasons. But I would never add something like, oh, I'm going to get glutamine because somebody said it helps with recovery. Let's stop wasting our money on these brands, these marketing machines, and let's get back to basics. You can get almost everything you need from diet. So that's my first one.
Yeah, I mean, let me tell you guys something else. Organic versus non-organic. Now, a lot of people say, oh, what's the difference? Let me explain what the difference is. Something that's, let's say you take a vegetable or a fruit, okay? And one is organic and one is non-organic. Let's say an apple. You've got an organic apple and you have a non-organic apple sitting on the table. What is the difference? Okay? The non-organic apple was sprayed with pesticide, lots of pesticides, okay? What happens when you spray pesticides is you kill, right? You kill shit. So you're killing the vitamins and the minerals that are in that apple when it's sprayed with pesticides. The organic apple is not going to have that issue. So that's something you should do, is try to eat more organic versus non-organic. And people say, oh, organic is more expensive. It's actually not more expensive, guys. You just have to shop at the right place. Okay? Your supermarket is going to charge more for organic versus conventional automatically because they have, you know, they mark it up on, you know, it's more expensive to grow produce when it's organic because it's harder to grow produce that's organic. You see what I'm saying? So yeah, they're going to mark up the price. But if you go to a health food store that sells produce, they get sales and they get in produce that's in season. And it's not as expensive as you think it is. And a lot of times, it may even be cheaper than conventional. So look for that. You have to buy stuff that's in season. That's the key to save money. So you definitely want to do that. The same goes for eggs. If the chickens are fed crap, the eggs are not going to be as nutritious as if the chickens get to eat seeds and worms and bugs. You know what I'm saying? So the same thing with a cow. A cow that's fed crap is not going to be as nutritious as a cow that eats grass, which is its natural food. Grass has a lot of vitamin D. Grass has a lot of nutrition in it. So a cow that's eating grass and you eat the cow, that's eating that grass, it's going to be more nutritious. So you need to start looking into eating organic versus non-organic, eating grass-fed versus not grass-fed, eating non-hormonal meat versus hormonal meat, okay? That's something that you can change this year. And plus, it's better for the environment as a whole. And if everyone ate organic, we'd have way less pollution. Our water wouldn't be full of pesticides. Our lakes wouldn't be so polluted. You know, so it's a great benefit too for the environment as well. Give us a couple, Matt, and I'll give us a couple.
I'm going to give you a whole bunch here quickly. They're all going to tie together. When do we feel our best? We feel the best when we got all of our shit in order. When our diet's good, when we're in the gym, when everything's good at home, when work's going okay. So step back and make some lifestyle changes. Because when you do that, it can only help you with your diet. It can help you in the gym. It can help you every way you need to. So I'm going to give you a whole bunch of lifestyle things here. This first one is something that I'm big on because of the way that my life is. Add more time outside with your kids. And that's got so many benefits to it. One, you being outside running around with your kids is fucking exercise. You don't even think about it. You're exercising. Not only for yourself, you're doing it with your kids. It's getting them healthy and it's teaching them it's important to exercise. And on top of that, they're having fun. You know, kids grow up now where they don't need to be outside. They don't need to socialize outside. All they have are devices. So instead of it's kind of the opposite. As kids, Steve and I had to grow up learning about computers and how they worked and what they were. Kids now are born basically knowing that. They have to learn the opposite. They have to learn, how do I play with other kids? How do I go outside? They don't know that stuff. Spend more time outside with your kids. The next one, spend more time in general with your spouse. Try to figure out how you can get closer. There's nothing as good as when your relationship's good at home. Okay, like we heard about our relationship question today, when things get shitty at home, your life goes in a downward spiral. So just spending a little bit more time together, get out of that routine of coming home, getting out of your work clothes, getting in your pajamas and going on the couch and watching TV. Get out of that routine. Whatever you got to do, you know, whether it's a date night, whether it's just talking to each other, make more time, get your relationship better. On that same idea, add more sex. It's the same thing, same idea as getting outside with your kids. First of all, it's fun. Don't we like to do fun things? Second of all, it's good for your health. It has a lot of benefits outside of just technically being cardio. You know, it's extremely healthy for our bodies. And it's good for your relationship, right? The last thing I mentioned. Next one, subtract stress from your life. Okay, whether it's work-related, home-related, I know that one's tough. We all have a lot of stress. Do what you can to reduce it. Stress has so many bad effects on our life. It's incredible what it can do to our cortisol levels, just to, you know, our blood pressure. Stress is like, it's a killer. It literally is. It's really hard, but you got to step back. Maybe just in the morning, maybe caffeine's contributing to your stress. It's getting you all anxious and wound up. Could be anything. It really forces you to take a look at your life and see where you can make changes to do that. And the last one I'll give you, and this is another one that's tough, especially for you younger guys, but it's extremely important. And Steve and I have done this. I guarantee you our circle of friends is not what it was at one point. Subtract negative people from your life. Negative people will bring you down. You don't want shitty people in your life, okay? You guys want to be focusing on living a healthy lifestyle, looking good, feeling good, setting goals with your fitness. You don't want people bringing you down that are going to be worried about drugs and going to the bar every other day and whatever it is. Get those people out of your life. The quicker you do that, the quicker you'll see positive results. Don't be a follower. Steve said that how many times when we talk about this shit? You have to be a leader. Cut the fat. Get rid of those people. They're not doing anything good for you. the reason why I say it's a lot of you younger guys, because, you know, the friends you grow up with in college and high school and that, you know, not everybody follows the same path. A lot of us have chosen the path of being healthy. A lot of your friends haven't. You know, you grow apart. So get rid of those people. If they're bringing you down, if they're not positive for you, it's time to start moving on with your life.
And what goes with that is social media. Get rid of your social media. I mean, unless you use social media, Facebook, to like communicate with, like, you have family in another state or another country, and that's the only way you can communicate with them, because calling them on the phone is too expensive. So it's much easier to chat with them on Facebook or keep in touch through Facebook. But I mean, other than that, what Matt said, getting rid of negative people, that's all social media is negative people. Twitter, you go on Twitter, just go on Twitter and look at any politician's Twitter page, any athlete's Twitter page, any sports team's Twitter page. It's all negative. 90% is negative. People bitching, okay? Any team, you see the people who are on their fans or trolls or something, and they're bitching, oh, this team sucks, the quarterback sucks, the coach should be fired, why are we hiring this assistant coach, why is this player back, this player is trash, blah, blah, blah. You would never say that about someone in person. You're going to go up to a football player and call them trash to their face? No, you're not going to do that, because you're not going to do that. You don't have the balls to do that. You're a fucking coward. But you go on social media and say that, other people will, because that's what social media does. So the more you post on social media, the more you become that pussy and that fucker, you know, who athletes want to kill. They want to kick your ass so bad, but they can't because you're on a fucking keyboard from your house. You know what I'm saying? So the more you post on social media, the more you're involved in social media, the more negativity you're going to bring in your life. So get rid of your social media. Get rid of the Twitter. Okay, I got involved in the whole Twitter thing. I was, you know, following sports and following all this shit. And these posts are so fucking ignorant. Like, people post their opinions and stuff. You don't know shit, okay? Like, you don't know anything about sports. You don't know what's going to happen. You don't know who's going to win the game. But you go on there and you read these people, and they think they know everything. They don't know shit. That's the nice thing about sports. It's unpredictable. You can't predict what's going to happen. So, I mean, it's buffoonery. I'll give you one more on diet. How about what you're drinking? Make a goal. If you're drinking soda, if you're drinking sugary things like those sugar teas or Gatorade or any of that sports, those sports drinks that are full of sugar, cut that out. Stick to water. Okay? Stick to water. Make that decision that in 2018, you're going to drink water. You're not going to drink diet soda. You're not going to drink Coke. You're not going to drink, you know, all this other crap that you've been drinking. Just cut it out and drink soda. You'll do yourself so much, you'll feel so much better. Those are all empty calories you're putting in your body for nothing. And it's not helping you at all. So make that, and I'll give you one on workouts, okay? Everyone's trying to improve their workouts. Change up your workout routine, okay? The whole, if you're doing a 3-day split, guys, change it up for crying out loud. Go on evolutionary.org and read. I've been publishing a lot of articles on these, you know, bodybuilders, physique competitors and stuff. I give you the rundown on them, okay? And then I also include what their training is. They all have different training styles. Go on there and read some of these training styles that they do. Some guys do 5-day splits, some guys do 4-day splits, some guys do 5x5, some guys do high reps, some guys do low reps. There's all kinds of different ways to train. Change it up, okay? You're gonna not get bored when you work out if you keep changing shit up. And if you keep doing the same fucking workout over and over and over again, you're gonna get bored with yourself. Maybe start doing yoga. Start doing hot yoga. It's very challenging. It's something different. You'll increase your flexibility. Think outside the box. Start doing other stuff. Maybe join a soccer team for adults. They have adult soccer teams or an adult flag football team or something. Or hockey or something. You know, do something a little different like that. Get yourself a little more active. I think that's a really good thing to do in 2018. You got anything else, Matt, before we close up?
Yeah, I can go quick. How about a steroid one? How about run less gear than you typically would? If you're somebody that uses steroids, I'm telling you, it's a mental thing. Guys think as you progress, you need to run more. You know, instead of 500 milligrams testosterone, you need to run 700 milligrams. You know, then you need to add in 500 milligrams DECA. Then, you know, you need to go higher every time. I'm telling you, you don't need that much. Your body doesn't want that much. You can do just as good on far lower doses. Learn how to stack properly. Learn how to do things for the results that you're looking for. But the answer is not just use more steroids. All that is toxic. Your body's going to – it doesn't need all that shit in there. So use a lot less and see how it goes. I promise you, if you stick to your diet and your training the same way you do on any other cycle, if you run a lower dose cycle and you just let it go and you don't think about it, you just do what you normally would, you're going to have just as good a results, you know, assuming it's not, you know, garbage gear. But I think we're at this point right now, and I think it kind of peaked with Rich Piana and Dallas McCarver, where like the shit people are doing, it's out of control. It's not as it just double what guys should be using. It's 30 to 50 times more than guys should be using. So we need to dial it way, way back, get back to basics and realize that they're just a tool. Okay. They're going to help you that little bit extra. They're not going to do the work for you. So I think, you know, it goes with the goals of overall health. Just cut the gear down. If you're running more than a gram of total gear, that's a lot. It's a lot of gear. Okay, you need to be way less than that. So just take a look at it next time and give us feedback too. If you do it, if you think, oh shit, man, why am I running 2.5 grams of gear? This is ridiculous. Run it lower. Come back and tell me I'm right or tell me I'm wrong. I want to hear it. I want feedback. We need that stuff.
Or how about this? How about not running gear in 2018? If you've been running gear for years and years straight, take the year off of gear. You know what I'm saying? I think that's a great – I should give your body a break. Your body needs a break from things. It's just like doing water fasting. You're taking a break from food. It gives your body a chance to repair itself. If you come off steroids for a year, you give your body a chance to repair itself. You know, if you're constantly bombarding it with hormones, it's never going to have a chance to repair itself. So that's food for thought, guys. Appreciate you guys listening. Evolution.org. We will talk to you guys next week. Have a good night.